Morning. If everybody would please open your Bibles up to the book of Ephesians. Our text is going to be found in Ephesians verse 12, but there's going to be a couple things I want to look at before we get to that text.
The first thing I want to look at is found in verse 8, Ephesians 3, 8. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now I know I'm not a preacher, but I understand the fact that I get to stand here and preach the Word, God's Word, and get to do that while our pastor is gone is a great honor. And I'm sure Brother Rob and those that stand in the stead of our pastor would agree with me on that. Now, at the end of the verse, it says, well, first, that word preach, what we get to do when we preach, the word preach means to bring or to announce the good news. And that's what we do when we stand here. We bring the good news of Christ and what He's done. So the end of that verse says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The word unsearchable doesn't mean that it's hid away under lock and key or that it literally can't be found out. It's not so much that we don't have the ability to find it out, to seek it out. It means that it can't be fully explored ever. It's just an inexhaustible treasure. If we could study our whole lifetime, we would never even hit a drop of water in the ocean compared to the riches that we have in the Lord Jesus. But that doesn't mean that we don't get to know what some of those riches are. He's been pleased to reveal through His Word many of the riches that He bestows upon us. As we've gone through the book of Ephesians, we've seen that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. All the blessings that God can bestow, He has bestowed upon His children. We've seen that we've been adopted as children unto Christ Jesus, into the family of God. Those that the Lord has called are made sons of God. Is there a wealthier family to be in? We're made acceptable before the sight of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be acceptable before God is to be just as righteous and holy as He. Well, that's a blessing. Through His blood, we have the free redemption and forgiveness of sins. At the time appointed, all those in heaven and earth will be made one together in Christ and one with Christ. We're part of His body. To be one with Christ, that's a great blessing, brethren. We saw that while we were dead in our own sins and our trespasses and our lust of our flesh following after them, He quickened us together. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, quickened us together with Christ. He made us alive in Him. We've been made to sit right now in heavenly places with Christ. We've seen that while we were Gentiles, while we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, from the saints of God, that He abolished the enmity between us. He reconciled us with God. We're no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints. Aren't these in and of themselves great riches, brethren? Could we not spend our lifetime just searching these few things out and exploring them? And we've barely scratched the surface, but today I hope to look at one more rich or blessing that the Lord's bestowed upon us, and that's the ability for prayer. I don't want to go over how it is that we have to come to the Lord in prayer and some of the grace and mercy that He's given us in that. So look with me at Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. The verse starts with "in whom," And that's an important note to understand because we're coming to the Lord in somebody. To see that, you have to look at the previous verse in verse 11. At the very end, it says, Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to come to the Lord, God Almighty, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the boldness, access, and confidence only in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord is the only way to access the Lord's throne of grace, to access that mercy seat. In the Old Covenant, when the Israelites had the high priest, when the high priest went in once a year, he was only allowed to go in through the veil. It was the only way to the mercy seat. And he was only allowed to go through with blood. Well, that veil was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and his broken body. When our Lord hung on the cross, and when he died, when he gave up the ghost, the veil in the temple was rent top to bottom. That was a picture of the body of our Lord being broken. And he shed his blood. The Lord Jesus Christ is our veil and our blood that we come before the mercy seat with. When we come to the Lord in prayer, we aren't coming in our name or in the works or anything that we do. If we were to do so that way, if we were to come in our works or anything that we think we have, we wouldn't be coming to the Lord in prayer. We wouldn't be praying at all. The Lord gave a parable about a Pharisee and a publican that went up to pray. And he said about the Pharisee, he stood and prayed thus with himself. The Pharisee wasn't coming to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was coming in his own works, in his own pride. And it said he prayed thus with himself. He might as well have been talking to a stump. If you don't come to the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, described in this book, in the Bible, in his word, you're not coming to the Lord. When we come to the throne of mercy, we have to come in faith in Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, in case you're one, if you're thinking that, well, I have faith, so I can come to the Lord. Well, Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You have to come in the faith that God gives his people. And the faith that God gives his people makes us to believe that God is who he is, who he is described as in this book. It's through faith that we know he's holy, he's righteous, he's completely separate from sinners, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's just, loving, merciful. It's through faith that he enables us to believe that he has a chosen particular people, that he's predetermined to save from the foundation of the world. It's through the faith that he gives us that we see that we're nothing but sin. Nothing but wicked. Nothing but that our very best deeds are a foul stench before the Lord God Almighty. It's through faith that he gives us that we're able to cast all our care on the Lord Jesus Christ and depend upon him for all our hope, all our righteousness and acceptance before God. But brethren, when the Lord gives you the faith to come to him, to his throne of grace, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the faith of him, we have boldness to come. In verse 12, it says, in whom we have boldness. Boldness means that we can come to the Lord, to his throne of grace, to the mercy seat, and we can speak freely. We can speak plainly. We don't have to hold anything back. It doesn't mean that we're rude or disrespectful, as some might describe boldness today. It's consistent with humility. And when we come to the Lord, we come in humility. In that same parable that I just gave you about the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, The publican stood afar off. He went up to pray too, but he stood afar off, and he wouldn't so much as look up to the heavens. But he smote upon his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He came boldly. He came respectfully. He came humbly. He knew what he was. The Lord had shown him that he was a sinner and that he needed mercy. And he came to the Lord and asked exactly what he needed. He spoke plainly. He knew he needed mercy. He didn't ask for riches or grace. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. There was no boasting in his works, just a plea for mercy and the hope that he would be heard because he came through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come boldly to the Lord because we know that he knows our suffering. We can speak freely to him because he knows our temptations. Hebrews 2:16 says, For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. When we come to the Lord's throne of grace, he knows our temptations. He knows our trials. He suffered like we did, but he did it perfectly. He was yet without sin. Don't go to the Lord trying to hide the trials that you're in or think that you're stronger than you are or hide a sin from God. It says in Hebrews, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. If you try to hide anything when you come to the Lord, you're not going to succeed. He knows more about us. He knows more about our sin than we know about ourselves. Let us therefore, knowing that he knows our pain, he knows our temptations, he knows all things about us, let us come boldly to him. Let us speak plainly and openly, confess our sins, our troubles, our burdens, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a blessing, brethren. That's a great, great riches that we have to come boldly before the Lord Jesus, that we know that he will hear us. But back in our text, it says, in whom we have boldness and access. We don't just have boldness, but we have access. We don't just have boldness to come before the throne of grace, but we have access to the throne of grace. There's something interesting about this word access. The close original word in Scripture would mean to bring near, to lead to come near, to approach. And the way that we would typically describe access today would be like, I have a key to this building, I have access to this building, or you have access to your place of work. But this word doesn't quite mean the same thing. This word access is only used three times in the Bible. It's only used when speaking of access to grace or the Father, and that only through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to take a look at them. The first one is what we just read. We have boldness and access in the previous verse, in whom the Lord Jesus Christ. The second we'll look at is in Ephesians 2:18. For through him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, we both, being Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And then turn over to Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we have access to grace and to the Father's throne of mercy. I want to make that distinction clear. Rob and Kristen, for example, have a key to my house. They have access to my house. They have access in the sense that we would use the word today. They can come pretty much any time they want, and they can be rather bold about it. They can unlock my door, walk right in, and speak boldly, plainly, freely. They can speak their mind. But I probably wouldn't be too happy if they showed up at 1 a.m. just to chit-chat. That's the distinction between how we use that word access today and what it means in Scripture. This access that we have through Jesus Christ to come before the Father is a special access. We can come at any time of day, any day, and never exceed our welcome. In fact, we're told to pray without ceasing. In order to pray without ceasing, you would have to be in prayer 24/7. If somebody was with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it would probably exceed our patience, and we'd get tired of that. But that's not so for our Heavenly Father. How blessed we are to be able to come before Him whenever our hearts are burdened. If you wake up in the middle of the night, we can go to the Lord in prayer. Working in the middle of the day, led to prayer, a burden on your heart, go to the Lord in prayer. Driving home, we have access to His throne of grace. Does it not comfort you as it comforts me, as it should comfort all the Lord's people, that whenever we're burdened with sin or temptation or trial, that we can come freely, boldly, with access to the Lord's presence, and that we will be heard? The other thing I want to point out is that it says we have boldness and access. The we is not all. This boldness and access is not given to the entire world. Just like we saw in the beginning of Ephesians, Paul says, you know, I write this to the church at Ephesus and to all the saints in God. So every time throughout this book where it says we, us, it's important to note that this is only for the Lord's elect. Only the children of God have access to the Lord's throne of grace. It isn't in case of an emergency access. It's open at any time of day that we need it. The people of the world can't go to the throne of grace at all, let alone of any time of day, because they aren't coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a particular access for us. It's a particular gift that's been given to the Lord's children. It's because of this particular access that He's given to us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in His work that we have what we find in Ephesians 12 right after access, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Having this confidence, having confidence is to trust only in and depend only upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When we trust only on the Lord, when we come to Him, when we come through His name, we're told in John that all that come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will in no wise cast out. Well, we have access and confidence knowing that when we come before the Lord's throne of grace, that He will never cast us out. He won't turn us away. All we have to do is knock at the throne of mercy, knock for entrance at the Lord's throne of grace, and He'll open the door. Why don't you turn over to Matthew 7? I want to show you that. Matthew 7, verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened to you. Well, just in case somebody heard that, and they're thinking, well, I got to knock. That's something I have to do. I have to be the one to come to the Lord. I'm the one that has to knock. It's got to be by me. Turn over to John 6. John 6, 44. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. The only reason that we come to the Lord's throne of grace at all, the only reason that we come knocking for access to his throne is because he's drawn us in the first place. This is why we have confidence that we'll be answered, because he's drawn us. He's laid it upon our hearts to come to him through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those that come to him have the promise that he will in no wise cast out. We don't just have the confidence that when we go to the Lord's throne of grace that we'll be granted the access to him. We have confidence that we will be heard and receive that which we ask for. That is, if we ask and come to the Lord the way he taught us to. The Lord said in Luke 11, when he taught his disciples how to pray, he said, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." When the Lord brings his people to truly pray, we always seek that his will be done. And when we ask for an ease of burden or temptation or whatever it may be, we say, or we ought to say, "If it be thy will, Lord." We know that his will always be accomplished. Turn over to 1 John 5:13. John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." When we go to the Lord asking for that ease of suffering or ease of a trial, or when we go thinking that we need something, but we ask that the Lord's will be done, we're always going to be answered. The Lord knows our needs, whether or not what we ask for, we may think that we need it, but we may not. He knows our needs better than we know ourselves. So if he doesn't give us what we think we need, what we've asked for, as long as we've asked for his will to be done, he's still given us exactly what we want. Sometimes what we think we need is not for our best good. It's not for our good. It would be hurtful to us if the Lord gave us that. If a little 6-year-old came up and asked his father for something that he really, really thought he needed, maybe he thought he needed a flamethrower or a sword or a gun or anything like that, would the father give that? Would the parents give that to the child? Well, I would have to say not if they loved him, because it would be to his hurt. It would be to his downfall. Well, it's the same for us, because we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If we don't get what we ask for, it's only for our good that we didn't get what we asked for. So we can be confident that we can come boldly to the Lord's throne of grace, that we'll be granted access with confidence that he will accept us and hear us and grant us that which we ask. Now lastly, at the last part of our text in Ephesians 3:12, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." All the riches that we have, all this boldness and access with confidence, is by the faith of Christ. It's important to note whose faith it is. Modern-day translations of the Bible will most likely say, "in the faith of him." And that would imply that it's our faith. Now, we do have to come to the Lord's throne of grace in the faith that he gave us to believe that he is who he says he is. But the boldness that we have and the access and confidence that we have is because of the faith of Christ. It's his faithfulness. It was by his faithfulness to the Father that he redeemed his people. It was by his faithfulness that he was made under the law obedient even to the death of the cross. It was his faithfulness to accomplish everything that the Father gave him to do. It was his faithfulness that redeemed us from the curse of the law. It was his faithfulness to the Father that washed us of all sin, made us righteous, holy, and accepted to the Father in Christ Jesus. It's all by his faithfulness. Why don't we turn over to Hebrews 4? Hebrews 4:14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christ was a faithful high priest. He was tempted in every way that we were tempted, that we are tempted, that we will be tempted, and yet he remained spotless. So it's by his faithfulness that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, and we can seek his mercy. And we can't, it's not that we just seek the mercy, but we're told that we may obtain it. Obtain mercy and help in our time of need. Brethren, sometimes I'm sure you're like me and you're just so weighed down by whatever your burden is, whether it be a trial or a temptation or maybe a sin. And you just can't bring yourself to pray, or you can't bring the words to your mouth, and you don't know what to say. Well, by the faithfulness of Christ, we have another great comfort, and it's found in Romans 8:26, if you'd like to turn there. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes our spirit's so weak, the flesh is just so overpowering to us. We want to pray, we can't get the words out. Sometimes we just groan and cry out. Well, when that happens, we're told right there in those verses we just read that our Lord Jesus Christ is faithful to intercede for those prayers, for those groanings. He washes our prayers in his own blood, and he presents them to us, to our Heavenly Father, as a sweet-smelling savor unto him. So, brethren, to start to wrap this up, prayer is important. It is very important and absolutely necessary for the children of God. The first sign that the Lord gave Ananias about Paul being made a new creature was, behold, he prayeth. True prayer is one of the signs that, you know, we've been made a new creature in the Lord, that he's created a new man in us. And that is only if we're praying in true prayer, in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer can also accomplish a lot. James chapter 5, 16 says, I'll read it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. In that same time period, back in 1 Kings 17, there's another story where the Lord sent Elijah, that is Elias, to a woman. And, you know, he inquired to the woman to make him a cake. And she had said that I only have enough meal and or flour and oil for one cake. And me and my son are going to go eat that and then we're going to die. And Elijah said, make me a cake first and then go make yourselves a cake. Well, she did that. And then by the Lord's grace, he sustained the flour and the oil, and it wasted not for a long time, and both her, her son, and Elijah were able to eat. Well, during that time, the son of that woman fell sick. And it says that he fell sick to the point where he had no breath in him. And the mother cried to Elijah and said, "Are you sent to call my sins to remembrance and to punish me?" She had just seen what the Lord had done in sustaining her, her son, and Elijah by a little bit of flour and oil. Yet her son falls sick and she, you know, is woe is me. Well, Elijah takes the boy and cries unto the Lord and says, "Lord, let this soul come back into this boy's body." And the boy revived. A fervent prayer can accomplish much, but a fervent prayer only happens when it's the Lord's will to accomplish what we're praying for, when it's already preordained to be done. But why would we pray for something like that if he's only going to accomplish his purpose? Well, that's because the Lord will do his purpose, but he's going to require us to ask him to do what he's going to do, and he's also going to make us ask him to do that which he's already going to do. He's going to prepare us in prayer in asking him, but he's going to make us ask. Now, some people will say, "Well, there's no point to anything at all. Why pray? Why do this? Why do that? If the Lord's only going to do with that which he's purposed and that which he's preordained to be done, why should we do anything? Why would we work? Why would we pray? Why would we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he's going to save those whom he will save." Romans 9:19. "Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" But if your response is that which I just described, if your response is, how can he yet find fault? Let's be fatalistic. Everything's going to happen, so there's no point to do anything. Why even go to church? Well, to that, I have to say to you is to shut your mouth, because you don't have any leg to stand on at all. Your argument wouldn't be with me when it comes to that point. Your argument is with God. So, brethren, I'll leave you with this. When your heart aches with a trial or a loss, if you've fallen so far in sin that you don't think there's any way that you could be a child of God, know that through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through him, we can go boldly to the throne of grace, to the throne of mercy, with confidence that we'll be heard. Confess your sins, confess our sins, our trials and tribulations, confess all our burdens to the Lord. If it's a particular sin that's bothering you, go boldly. Don't hold it back. Don't try to hide it. Be specific. Confess it to the Lord. It may, as hard as it may be, and it's hard to confess a sin that we're really, really burdened with to the Lord. We're told he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You might just find that as soon as you go to him seeking mercy, the burden of sin's lifted off your shoulders. And to close, in the words of John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress, he wrote a poem. "Thus far did I come, laden with my sin, nor could aught ease the grief that I was in, till I came hither. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from off my back? Must here the strings that bound it to me crack? Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, oh Lord, what mercy you've given us, what grace to know that we can come before your throne. We can come as we are. We can confess all that we are. knowing that you know our pain and that you're able to comfort us and comfort those that need the comfort. And that all things work together for the good of them that you've called. Lord, what grace to have confidence that you'll hear us, to have access to your throne. Lord, don't ever let us take that for granted. Cause us to come to you always, continuously, without ceasing in prayer, seeking you when we're in trial, seeking you when we're in temptation, seeking you when we've fallen. Lord, we thank you for that great intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his sacrifice. Lord, how we rejoice to know that now our brother Don sees you face to face. No longer through a glass darkly, but he's in your very presence, Lord. What a marvelous thought. Keep us, Lord. Forgive us our sins. Keep us on that path, that straight and narrow path, to run with patience the race you've set before us. Be with us in all that we do, Lord. We ask it in the name of our great Savior, our Master, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.